This is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 110 of a 260 program series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years. Following the same format as the sensationally successful program by the late Frank L. Fitzsimmons, we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. And today, Rum River Crooks, King Edward and Other Cheap Cigars, and The Flying Coffin. When Frank Todd returned home from the Navy, he returned to Wake Forest and completed law school. On his return to Hendersonville, he shared a law office with Frank Corner in the Staten Building, and later, R. Lee Bob Whitmire would also work out of that same office. Frank and Betty Ann were married October 23, 1948. That was a day before our son Carrie was born. If I remember correctly, Frank was elected to the General Board of Northwestern Bank in 1965. I took office in 67. As I mentioned yesterday, we took turns driving those 75 or 80 trips we made to North Wilkesboro for board meetings. On our very first trip, we'd gone I-40 to the Jamestown Road exit, had cut through Morganton over to Lenoir, crossing US 41 to hit North Carolina 18 from Lenoir to Wilkesboro. That was a torturous 26-mile stretch of two-lane road, which was primarily residential except for an occasional broiler house. Wilkesboro at that time was known not only for Northwestern Bank, but Lowe's, Holly Farms Poultry, now Tyson Foods, Carolina and Gardner Mirror Companies, the two largest in the world, and yet it was accessible only by two-lane roads. A four-lane road did extend from Winston-Salem to Yadkinville, but from there it was two lanes on in. The wealth of the state of Wilkes had come from making white liquor during the days of Prohibition. Well, as Frank took the shortcuts through Lenoir at the very edge of town where we hit North Carolina 18, he wheeled into a convenience store, went inside, ordered two King Edward cigars, and wrote a check for $1 to pay for them. "Do you always write checks for as little as a dollar?" I asked. He answered, "No need to carry large sums of money around with you." And this conservative attitude toward cash would come back to haunt us in later years. One day it was his turn to drive, and he wheeled up in the fanciest Cadillac I'd ever seen. He volunteered, "It was a wedding anniversary gift from our kids." I knew no better until I was doing this article and had shared this information with their son, Frank Jr., and he laughed heartily. He said it really wasn't an anniversary gift. He and Ralph Jones down at Boyd's had been arguing for months over a trade, and they were about 50 bucks apart. And both were so stubborn, neither one of them would give in, so the kids decided the issue for them. We made the trade to get him out of that old green car he drove. Now, this new Cadillac, acquired with the help of the kids, back in the 1980s, was luxurious beyond belief. The entire interior was done in a deep blue velour. I settled back in the passenger seat, and as we were riding along, I looked at Frank and said, It makes you sort of feel like you're riding in a coffin, doesn't it? Automobiles didn't need any of the various instruments on the dashboard as far as Frank Todd was concerned. He never paid any attention to them. And this is where his habit of cashing checks for a dollar got him into a bind. As we made the turn at Moravian Falls to get on North Carolina 18, to travel the 26 miles back to Lenoir, I glanced at the instrument panel and observed, Frank, you're almost out of gas. Now remember, it's 26 miles to Lenoir, and there was only one country grocery store filling station in between. Powered now only by fumes, Frank wheeled into the country store, pulled out his credit card, and says, "Fill her up." The seasoned old codger observed as to, "We don't take credit cards." Unfazed, Frank quickly reached for his trusty checkbook, and the old man then said, "And we don't take no checks either." Frank looked at me and says, "How much money you got?" "Oh, maybe $2, knowing I had one bill and some change. I counted it. $1.75 to be exact." Without hesitation, Frank said, "Give us the $1.75 worth." The old man dutifully filled the order, and as we started to drive away, he observed, "I don't know what this world's coming to. You fellers drive in here an expensive car like that, and you can't raise but $1.75 between the two of you." I don't think it impacted Frank's habits, but I do remember trying to be sure of carrying a little more money in the future. Frank had installed one of those first fuzz busters in the county, And on one trip, as we were coming upon the Asheville Airport exit, he was extolling its virtues and how many tickets he had avoided with it. I said, "Well, I hope it's working now, because you have a state trooper right on your back bumper." The buzzer hadn't worked in any way. The trooper was kind, and he ignored Frank's 62-mile-an-hour pace. Those trips harbor nothing but wonderful memories. We were both young and good health, and we were always grateful that it was some other director singled out by the old man, Edwin Duncan, with a question like, "Mr. Forrester, if we were to lower the rate by an eighth on this $78,000 loan, what impact would that have on his monthly payments?" Mr. Duncan was a human computer that calculated only in eighths. I'm grateful to this day he never called on me to answer one of his favorite rate questions in a board meeting. Fond memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.